First John, chapter number 5 this morning. First John, towards the back of your Bible there. And close to Revelation. Before you get to the book of Revelation, you'll come to 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And we're going to go to 1st John, chapter number 5 this morning. 1st John, chapter 5. If you need a handout, just lift your hand up high. We've got a handout for you, a message handout. We'd love for you to take the message home with you and study it during the week. We give you these so you can study it during the week. Anybody we missed? Anybody need one? All right, I think we got everybody. All right. You know, everything that surrounds us is temporal. Can anybody tell me, what does temporal mean? What does it mean if something's temporal? It's temporary. Right. Everything that surrounds us is temporal. None of it lasts. Your clothes, right, don't last. Cars, don't last. Toys, computers, iPhones, you know. Hey, even our physical life doesn't last, does it? You know, most Christmas presents that are given this year are going to end up in one of several places. Eventually. Most Christmas presents that are given this year, most, are going to one day, and again, it may even be beyond our life, but one day, all the Christmas presents are going to either end up in the attic, at a garage sale, at a thrift store, or at the city dump. Amen. You know what a garage sale is, right? Garage sale is old junk that we want to get rid of that was once new stuff that we had to have. But now we need to get rid of it so we can make room for new stuff that will one day be old junk, right? In a world where nothing lasts, in a world where things always change, isn't it great to know that there are a few eternal things that never change? You say, what are you talking about? God is eternal. Never changes. Jesus is eternal. Never changes. Hebrews 13:8. The Holy Spirit is eternal. Hebrews 9:14. By the way, there's one other thing. You've got God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit are all said to be eternal. Aren't you thankful the Word of God's eternal? It's forever settled in heaven, the Bible says. And praise the Lord that the eternal triune God has made a promise in His eternal Word, and it's the promise of eternal life. Let me say that again. The eternal triune God has made a promise in His eternal Word, and the promise is eternal life. You know, it's the wonderful thing about that is that every single person can receive the gift of eternal life. And that's the subject here in our text. Let's read it. Go to 1 John 5 and let's look at verse 11. It says, the Bible says, and this is the record, that God hath given to us, everybody say it with me, what? Eternal life. And every time we see that phrase or we see the word life, will you say it with me? Okay, it says eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath... Now y'all are falling down on the job now. He that... I'm sorry, I messed up. He that hath the Son hath... Yeah, you guys are on top of it. All right, I'm the one that needs help. Amen. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And then verse 13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Are you thankful that we can have eternal life today? Hey, let me give you a few thoughts on that I think are good for the Christmas season. Number one is this in your handout. It says in your handout there that eternal life is a reality. Eternal life is a reality. You cannot read that text and not come away with that. If you look at verse 11 again, it says, now look at it, verse 11, and this is the, and then what's that next word there? Record. Now, do you know what the word record means? It means evidence. It means report. It means witness. It means testimony. This is the evidence. This is the report. This is the witness. This is the testimony. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. Eternal life is a reality. What that's saying right there is, and it's in your handout, when it comes to the matter of eternal life, God has gone on record and promised it. God's gone on record. He did not just promise it verbally, but he went as far as to put it in writing. Look in your handout at Titus 1:2. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, and what's that next word? Promised before the world began. Go back to 1 John in your Bible to chapter 2. Just flip back a couple chapters, probably one page. And look back at 1 John 2:25. Can we all read it together, please? It says what? And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. I want you to look up at the screen. John 10:28. Jesus said, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Let's go to the next one, please. John 11:26. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall what? That's eternal life, isn't it? Shall never die. Believest thou this? Let's say, for example, that, talking about this thing of God going on record, putting it in writing. Let's say you go into a store and you buy an electronic item of some sort. It's expensive, as most electronic items are. Maybe it's an iPad, an iPhone, I don't know. But you buy an electronic item at the store. And you ask the fellow that's working there, is there a warranty? And he explains to you, well, yes, sir, for this much money, we're going to sell you this, and you're going to get a 5-year warranty. And you say to him, well, what if I have a problem and I need to get it fixed? You know, I need something in writing showing that I have a 5-year warranty for this. And he says, oh, that's not necessary. Sir, I'm not planning on going anywhere in the next 5 years. And I'm planning on staying here as a salesman. And you know what? I never forget a face. I'll remember you. And so, you know, if that thing breaks down, you just come on in. I'll remember you and we'll fix it. Is that going to work? No. You want something what? In writing. Something that you can prove and say, no. I have it right here in writing that this product is under warranty. Well, you see, God put it in writing concerning this thing of eternal life. And either we believe that God can give life that will never end. Either we believe what Jesus and the Father said, or we're only left with one other choice. And that is, we believe God's a liar. And we believe that Jesus Christ was a liar. You see, look up at verse 10. Go back to 1 John 5. Flip back over there to our text. And look up at verse 10. 1 John 5:10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him. What do you call God when you don't believe what he says? You call him what? You make him a liar. Because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Now look. Either you believe the record, either you believe what God put in writing, or you don't. Either you believe that God went on record and said he's going to give you the gift of eternal life, or you believe, no, God's a liar and Jesus Christ is a liar. It's not any other choice. It's A or B. There's no C, D, E. No, it's either one or the other. You see, there are people that think that this life is it. What you see is what you get. Get all you can. You know? Well, what's the old expression? Get all you can all you get. You know, hold on to it. Live it up and then die. Because once you die, that's it. Well, you know what? Those who say that are very sadly mistaken. This life is simply preparation for eternity. What kind of preparing are we doing? Are we living for the here and now? Or are we living with eternity in view? If you knew that this next year would be your last year on earth, what would you change? What would you do different? If you knew that 2014 would be your last year, what would you do different? What would you change? You know, I tell you one thing, I think all of us would agree on, wouldn't we seek God more fervently if we knew that? Wouldn't we seek to walk with Him? To have that close relationship with Him? You see, eternal life is a reality. Number two, eternal life is a gift. Eternal life is a gift. I want you to, after you write that in, go to verse 11, please. Verse 11. And let's look at that verse again. It says, and this is the record. So it's a reality. God went on record. That God hath, and that's a key word. The next word is, God hath what? Given. What is that word?
Given.
Given to us what? Eternal life. Now look. Did you notice that the Bible did not say God traded us eternal life? It did not say God traded us. It did not say God sold us. It did not say God rewarded us with eternal life. The Bible says He gave it. There's a big difference between giving and making somebody earn it. Would you agree? There's a big difference between rewarding a kid $10 for washing your car versus giving them a Christmas present on Christmas morning. One is a gift. The other is wages that he's earning for washing the car. In your handout it says one of the greatest deceptions that Satan has going today is the concept of people trying to earn eternal life in heaven. That's one of the greatest tricks. By the way, Satan is a beguiler. Do you know how Satan works? He's a trickster. He beguiles. He tricks. He makes people think things that are erroneous, but they think they're true. The way Satan works is he is a deceiver. The Bible says he's a beguiler. The Bible says that we need to beware of the wiles of the devil. Wiles carries the idea of trickery, sleight of hand. And Satan makes things look true or make sense that are not true. And one of the greatest wiles, tricks, deceptions that Satan has going today is the idea that you have to be good enough to get to heaven. Now, what does the Bible say? Not what does Satan say. What does truth say? Look in your handout, Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the what? Gift of God. And then the next three words says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Look at Romans 6:23 in your handout. For the wages of sin is death, but the what? Gift of God. Everybody say that again. The what? Gift of God. What is the gift of God? There's what we're talking about today. It's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at the screen. Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. But according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Salvation from our sins, eternal life in heaven, is a gift that God wants to give. You cannot earn a gift. A gift simply must be what? Received. You can't earn a gift. You just receive it, right? Correct? We got five teenagers down here on the front row. Can you imagine if Christmas morning, guys, you get up and your parents give you a present and it's the one you've been wanting. And you open it up and you open up your gift and you smile from ear to ear and your parents look at you and they say, "Do you like your gift?" And you say, "Oh, I sure do." And then all of a sudden they look at you and they go, "Then get out there and mow that grass." Y'all expect that? No. I hope not. No. You cannot earn a gift. You just receive it. That's like God, though, isn't it? Saying, "You want the gift of eternal life? Let me give you the gift of eternal life." And we smile from ear to ear, and then God says, "But you got to do this, and you got to do that, and you got to keep the list, and you got to..." No. It's a gift. It's a gift. How do we receive God's gift of eternal life? Well, God's not going to swing his hand down from heaven and give you a certificate that says eternal life. So how do I receive it? Well, that brings me to my next point. If you would, turn your hand out over and write this in. Eternal life is a person. Eternal life is a person. I want you to look at verse 11 very closely. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is located where? In His Son. Okay, then that makes verse 12 make sense. Look at verse 12. "He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Why? In your handout, get this statement. Where is eternal life located according to verse 11? The Bible says it's located in His Son. Write that in. That's where you find it. You find eternal life in the Son, right? In Jesus. So, if I have received Jesus Christ, follow me. If the life is in His Son, and if I have received Christ into my heart and into my life, then what do I have? If life is in the Son and I've received the Son, what do I have? Right, because it's in Him. It's in Him. All right, look. $20 bill. Every one of the teenagers want to be part of this illustration, I can tell. All right. I take the $20 bill. That represents the gift of eternal life. I'm going to put it in the Word. Jesus Christ is said to be the Word incarnate. Eternal life is in the Son. The Word, Jesus. So eternal life is in Jesus. Now, think about this. I take 20 bucks, I put it in the Bible. All right? If I go to give Xander the Bible, okay? If I go to give him the Bible and he takes it, if he receives the Bible, what does he automatically receive? The $20? Right, no, I'm looking for the real thing here, all right? That's all, it is real, but you know, the physical thing, I should have said. So if he takes the Bible, if I say, "I want to give you a gift," once he takes the Bible and he receives it, go ahead and receive it, what did he get? The $20. If the Bible represents Jesus and the $20 represents the gift of eternal life, when he receives Christ, the Bible, what does he get? He gets eternal life. Does that make sense? Right. Give me back the Bible now. All right, thanks. take my $20 and I got to use it in the next service. Okay. All right. I hope that makes sense. That is a good illustration that I use a lot when I'm witnessing to people about salvation. I use that illustration. And I explain to them, I take the money, I put it in the Bible, and I say, now, if you accept the Bible, you receive the Bible, what do you get? Well, I get the $20. Or dollar, or five, whatever. But whatever's in the Bible, I get that. And I say, in the same way, Jesus Christ is the Word. When you take Jesus, you receive the gift of eternal life. Because the life is in the Son. And then he said, he that hath the Son hath life. It's a great illustration. You ought to use that with people you're witnessing to, because it helps them to see, okay, God wants to give me the gift of eternal life. How do I receive it? You receive it by receiving the Son. When you receive the Son, you automatically get life, because life's in the Son. That's what verse 12 says. It's very easy to understand. In your handout, it says, eternal life is Jesus. Eternal life is Jesus. Look at your handout, Romans 5:21. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness. Look at this. Unto what? Eternal life. How do I get it? Well, it comes by what? Jesus Christ our Lord. That's how you get it. When I trust Jesus, when I believe that he died on the cross for my sins, when I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, I receive the gift of eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life. It didn't say he that belongs to the church has life. He that gets baptized in water has life. He that keeps the church rules has life. He that performs all the religious rituals of the church has life. No, he makes it very simple. Forget about churchianity. Forget about churchianity. Forget about religion. Forget about all the religious trickery and tomfoolery today. All that's designed to keep you in bondage. The important issue is this. Do you have Jesus Christ? Is he your Savior? Have you placed your total trust in him? Have you received him as your only hope of eternal life? There is no other way. Eternal life is not in Buddha, and it's not in Muhammad, and it's not in Pastor Dan, and it's not in any religious leader. It's not in the priest. It's not in the pastor. Eternal life is not in Mary. Eternal life is in Jesus Christ. It's in a person. It's in Christ. Now, you say, I don't know about that. Well, right there, God went on record and said it. See, so we either believe it or we don't. See, so we either choose what God says or we choose what we think. Look at number four. It says eternal life is a choice. Eternal life is a choice. Now, I want you to look down with me at verse number 13. It says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Eternal life is a personal choice. In your handout it says, you must choose to believe on Christ. You must choose to believe on Christ. You choose what you're going to believe. You choose what you're going to trust in. Now look, it's a cop-out to say, well, but I can't believe in Jesus. I can't bring myself to believe that God would give us eternal life. I can't. You exercise faith and belief every day of your life. When you get on Clyde Morris Boulevard and you're going down Clyde Morris and you're a few feet from an oncoming car, you trust they're not going to come over and hit you. You believe that or you wouldn't be on the road. You believe when the doctor writes you a prescription that you can't even pronounce, and you take that prescription to a pharmacist and you have no idea what he's putting in that bottle. You have no idea if it's the right thing. You know what? You are believing in the doctor and you're believing in the pharmacist, are you not? You're believing by faith. You see, every day we exercise faith and belief. Eternal life is a choice. Some people think that their family ancestry makes them a Christian. You know, the idea, my parents were Christians and I was born a Christian. Some people believe that. You say, have you ever been saved? Do you know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven? And they'll say, oh, I've always been a Christian. I was born a Christian. Nobody is born a Christian. You are not born something just because your parents were that. You know, my dad was an insurance salesman. He went around in the state of Missouri. He sold insurance to new car dealerships. That's what he did the whole time I grew up. My dad was an insurance salesman, but you know what? Just because he was one, that doesn't make me one. You know? And just because your parents were a Christian, that doesn't make you a Christian. There's got to come a time when we individually realize that we're sinners, that we're lost, we have sinned against God, and that we're eternally doomed and we need a Savior. And we have to personally choose to believe on Christ and to trust Him completely to save us. God is not going to force the gift of eternal life down your throat. That would not be gracious. And that would defy the idea of a gift. You know, there's people who will teach that. They teach the idea of that God brings to certain people irresistible grace, and He comes on you and it's you can't resist it. He comes and you have to get saved because God has willed it, and God basically brings it on you and forces it upon you. That defies the whole idea of a gift. You see, a gift, number one, has to be offered. But number two, a gift has to be what? Has to be accepted, has to be received. You see, eternal life is a gift. And it wouldn't be gracious for God to force it down your throat and make you take it. You know what? You have a choice. There is personal responsibility and choice. Eternal life is a choice. You have to make that conscious choice to either accept it or reject it. Nobody can make that choice for you. The last thing I want to give you is this. Number five, eternal life is a confidence. It's a confidence. Verse 13. Let's go back to our text and look at verse 13. It says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Now look at this. That ye may, and what's that next word? Know that ye have eternal life. How about that? Huh? That ye may what? One more time. That ye may what? Know that you have eternal life. Can I know that I have eternal life? Yes. Absolutely. In your handout it says, God wants you to know. God wants you to know. That's why isn't that why He wrote His word? He went on record. He went on record. Why? He wants you to know. Something that important, God doesn't want you to doubt. He doesn't want you to wonder, well, maybe if. He wants you to know. Now, there are people I've met that they think it's presumptuous to say that you know that you have eternal life. They say that's presumptuous. That you can't know that until you die. But it isn't presumptuous at all to say that you know that you have eternal life. Because eternal life is believing God's record. It's believing the record. And it's basically holding God to His word. It's holding God to His word. You remember the illustration I gave you earlier about the electronics item? Imagine you bought that and you bought the 5-year warranty and you get a thing in writing and it says there in writing, you know, that you've got this 5-year warranty. And let's say that 4 years into it, the thing breaks. So you go into the store, you've got the item, and you go in and you say, hey, I bought this 4 years ago, and I need to get it fixed or get a new one. It's broke. And then the clerk looks at you and goes, well, that's pretty presumptuous. I can't believe you. You bought that thing 4 years ago. And he says, I think that's gall to think that you can come in here and expect us to fix that. You bought that 4 years ago. What do you do when he says that? My $20. You get out your warranty. You open that rascal up. And you say, sir, it's not presumptuous at all. You guys put it in writing right there that I've got a 5-year warranty. I'm just standing on and I'm claiming what you put in writing. It is not presumptuous to say, I have eternal life. I know I'm going to heaven. That's not presumptuous. You're simply standing on what God said and what God promised. You're just standing on what He said. You're just holding God to His word. Rather, it's presumptuous if you say, well, it's impossible to know for sure that you have eternal life. You can't know that. That's presumptuous to say you can't know. Because you're basically saying that you don't believe God's word and you're calling God a liar. That's what's presumptuous. It's not presumptuous to say you can know you have eternal life. It's presumptuous to say you can't know. Because God said you can know. So if I say you can't know and God said you can know, then I'm saying God's a liar for saying I can know. Right? Did y'all get that? I want you to look at something here. Look at the screen. And I'm almost done. But look at this. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them also that love is appearing. Let's go to the next verse. It says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with who? Christ, which is far better. Look at this verse. Paul wrote, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, talking about your body dying, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now let me ask you a question. As you read those verses, does Paul sound like a man to you who's keeping his fingers crossed, hoping he's going to go to heaven? Doesn't sound like it to me. To me, he sounds like a man who knows. How about you today? Do you know that you have eternal life? You can know. Let's go ahead and bring up the next screen here. Eternal life is a what? Reality. Number two, we said right from our text, eternal life is a what? He gives it. Number three, eternal life is a person. He said it's in His Son. Let's go to the next one. Eternal life is a choice. You have to believe. You just believe. You just receive. Number five, eternal life is a confidence. Can you know it? Absolutely, you can know it. In your handout, it says, Christ came into this world that you might know that you have eternal life. Aren't you thankful He was born in Bethlehem, died on the cross, and rose from the dead so that we can know?